Jesus, you are worthy, our King of Kings, worthy of all that we are, all that we have, all we could even long for. And in this moment, we pause and acknowledge your lordship of all things, of all time and space, of these moments, and we pray of each of our hearts and lives. Holy Spirit, we ask today that you would come, stir in us, speak to us, help us hear, and we pray you'd change us. Crumble where pride has taken root. We pray that humility would reign this morning as we lean into your word. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, with three kids under the age of five in our home, a phrase I hear commonly is, "Daddy, watch." My son loves, loves, loves to parade whatever he's doing before me or my wife or his little sister. And one of the most common things here in the last few months has been the marble tower. He got a marble tower for Christmas. Thanks, Auntie Christine and Uncle Nick. And he says, "Daddy, watch." And I come into the living room, and here he is. He's got one new piece that he's added to the top of this marble tower. And I watch the marble go ding, 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 around, 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 spinny, spin things. And he's elated. He'll knock it over, build it, rebuild it, piece by piece, over and over and over. Now, his little sister, who's two, echoes the same thing. She says it with her little two-year-old speak, "Watch, Daddy, watch, Daddy." And she'll mimic anything that he does, whether it's jumping off the couch or spinning or dancing. They've got this new thing where they're obsessed with spinning during music and getting dizzy and then falling over. And they'll say, "Watch, Daddy." This is precious as a dad. I cherish these moments. This is a demonstration of part of how God has made us as people to want to be seen, to be noticed, to be validated. But somewhere along the way, this healthy longing to be noticed, this wanting to be seen, gets corrupted by pride. That desire for someone to pay attention to us, which in a childlike state is healthy, in our teenage years and adult years and throughout our lives is corrupted by a pride that takes not just desire to be noticed, but it places ourselves as supreme. We've never lived in a time in history where it's been more accessible to live this out. With technology and social media, in just an instant, something that you think or say or do or take a picture of yourself doing can be broadcast. And you can get literally a dopamine hit from someone else acknowledging you. Last weekend, we heard a verse from Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6 verse 1, a verse that Jesus spoke a huge word of caution when it comes to turning our devotion into a performance or into a broadcast. Listen again at what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 1. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. This verse is key to understanding the first half of Matthew chapter 6, this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Pastor Matthew introduced it to us last weekend. Jesus is saying that when you do the right thing But your motive and your posture is to do it in order to gain notice or recognition from people so that they'll be impressed. Jesus says that God has no reward for you. Our culture is fueled by the approval of others, by gaining notice or recognition. The things that we do in life, good things in fact that we do that we ought to do, many times become more about the reaction of people and the approval of people than it is about the good that we're actually doing. I'm sure you've seen this on social media, someone sitting at a coffee shop with a perfect cup of coffee and their Bible, doing my morning devos. We see the same thing with fitness or food, or someone saying, look at the way that I served this weekend. And it's more about the recognition than it is what we're doing. This first word of Matthew chapter 6 is a stern word of caution. Beware. Beware. God doesn't reward doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. If your reason for being at that coffee shop with your Bible open on the table is so that you can post it and get likes and comments from your followers, there's no reward. You may get those retweets or likes from people, but Jesus says there's no reward from God. Now, throughout this section, Jesus is going to drive this big idea home in several different arenas for his followers. He's applying it to three core things. We saw the first one last weekend, giving. Jesus says, when you give, and as Pastor Matthew shared, our giving is not in order to be seen by others. We're going to see today when you pray, and in about a month, we'll see another aspect of this when you fast. Jesus isn't saying we shouldn't do these things, giving, praying, fasting. We should. But Jesus is using this caution. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others so that you can be seen by them. He's pinpointing for his followers the issue of pride and performance when it comes to our devotion. Today we're going to look at specifically how that plays out with prayer. Look at verses 5-8. Here's what Jesus says. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Here Jesus gives two examples. Two examples of caution of how not to approach prayer. And both of them have to do with performance. Jesus shows us that prayer isn't a performance. Now there's two dimensions of this. Prayer isn't a performance. We see the first one in verses 5-6. We see the second one in verses 6-7. The first, in verses 5-6, Jesus shows us that prayer isn't a performance to impress people. Jesus names the hypocrites. He says, you must not be like the hypocrites. And when Jesus says that, he has specific people in mind. This group of people, the religious leaders, so often in Jesus' ministry and in his teaching, become the target of his confrontation because their religious pride had rendered their devotion worthless before God. And here he says, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. Why? What's their motive? What's their posture? That they may be seen by others. Their motivation for praying was to perform for others in order to impress them. In a sense, they're praying and making it look like they're praying vertically to God, but in reality, they're looking sideways and paying attention to those around them, broadcasting their prayers so that people would see them. Hashtag praying right now. And Jesus says that's the completely wrong posture. Praying isn't a performance to impress people. Instead, verse 6, Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Jesus says, instead, you pray privately. To whom? To God. You might circle that phrase in verse 6, pray to your Father. You want to understand what prayer is right there. It's not about other people. It's not a performance for them. It's not so that they see you. Pray to your Father. We don't pray to be seen by others. We don't pray so that they notice and are impressed. They're not our audience. Pray to your Father. He is our audience. Prayer, by definition, is talking to God, not to men. And if our prayers are directed toward men, they'll have no power and no reward. Jesus says, pray to your Father. Pastor Matthew mentioned last week the power of that word, Father. It shows up 10 times in this passage. Next Sunday, when we look at the first part of the Lord's Prayer, we're going to zero in on that word, Father. Of the power and access and invitation that gives followers of Jesus. Jesus says, pray to your Father, directly to God. And then look at this. There's a promise. There's a promise in each of these cautions. Prayer isn't a performance to impress people, but look at this promise here. Pray to your Father, the end of verse 6, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Think of that contrast. Hypocrites who are praying for men and trying to get noticed and approved by men, saying, see, look what I'm doing. And Jesus says, no. Pray to your Father. And he says, God sees you. We spend all this energy trying to be seen and noticed by people, jumping up and down, looking around, posting things. And Jesus says, your Heavenly Father, he sees you. He sees you. You're not some anonymous cluster of cells. You're not some number on the planet. He shaped you and he sees you. Your Father sees. Let that sink in. God sees you. Pray to your Father in heaven. Jesus gives a second example of caution in verses 7 and 8. It's another example of caution toward performance, but it takes a different dimension of that. Takes it a little bit differently. Look again at what it says. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. This group of people, it's praying as a performance, but not to impress men, to impress God. Jesus says the Gentiles, a better translation might be the pagans, they would heap words and empty phrases together pile them up. What a picture. Rambling on and on. Fancy language, eloquent speech, mindless repetitions, thinking that somehow if they make it sound grandiose that they'll gain a hearing before God. But prayer isn't a performance to impress God. We don't have to drum up some fancy language. We don't need to say it just the right way or to perform in order for God to get the message. It's not the quantity of our words or the eloquence thereof. But verse 8, Jesus says, "Do not be like them. Why? For your Father knows what you need before you ask him." God knows what you need. You don't need to pray the prayer exactly right or dress it up in order for God to be impressed enough to pay attention to what you're saying. Jesus cuts through all that and says, your heavenly Father already knows your needs. He knows them. So you can pray with assurance. In the book, Praying Life, author Paul Miller says it this way. He says, don't try to get the prayer right. Just tell God where you are and what's on your mind. This is the heart posture that Jesus invites his followers toward. Not one of performance to impress people, not one of performance to impress God, but simply to come before him. Look at those two promises in verses 6 and 8. Your Father sees. Your Father knows. This is in contrast to the two examples that Jesus gives of those who think that prayer is a way of gaining recognition or approval from other people. Or recognition or approval from God. What Jesus is driving toward here is our prayer posture shouldn't be to perform. It should be to seek our Heavenly Father. Both of these examples, verses 5 and 6 and verses 7 and 8, both of them are confronting the same thing. Pride. Pride. Think about it. What is it that makes you either aware of or overly aware of, conscientious of others in your prayers, trying to perform for them? It's pride. What is it that makes you conscientious of saying the right words out loud? It's pride. What is it that makes you think that somehow what you do or say will put you in a status or standing to gain a hearing with God? It's pride. Fascinating that Jesus, as he introduces prayer on the Sermon on the Mount, this vision of what following him looks like, this vision of kingdom citizenship, and when teaching on prayer, Jesus starts by addressing pride. Pride is the great enemy of prayer. Because at the root of prayer is need and dependence. And from that dependence, a relationship. Pride is the enemy of that. The very nature of prayer is to seek God, to seek our Creator. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, this issue that Jesus is pinpointing here in Matthew chapter 6 is very real. Spiritual pride. Doing things to be noticed or seen by others. Performing so that you gain the approval or recognition of people. Pride is lurking and creeping at your door. Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." So when you pray, are you coming out of need and dependence, or are you coming out of pride? Our prayer posture reveals our heart. Are we concerned about what others think? Do we even bring our needs before God? Do we believe that He cares? Do we believe that He is capable? Do we believe that we're powerless without Him, or are we self-reliant? Are we surrendered to His ways? Do we seek Him when we have a decision before us, or do we just pursue our own in our own wisdom? There's a phrase at the beginning of verse 5 and verse 7 that I want us to think on as we close and as we walk into these next 5 or 6 weeks together focusing on prayer. Jesus says, "And when you pray." And when you pray. Not if, when. Pastor Matthew talked about this as it related to giving last week. The same thing is true of prayer, and we'll see it with fasting. The assumption that Jesus speaks from is that to be a kingdom person is to be a praying person. Followers of Jesus are praying people. When you pray, Jesus assumes that. Now, I can't assume that that's true for each of you here this morning, that you're a praying person. But Jesus has that expectation for His followers when you pray. Here's a question as we step toward a month of looking at prayer together from Matthew chapter 6. How is your prayer life? When do you pray? What's your posture when you pray? Is it one of pride or one of humility and dependence and faith? In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable, and the way that Luke narrates the introduction to this parable is this way. He says, "And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." Jesus told His followers a parable so that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Yes, Apostle Paul says it this way in Romans 12:12, "Be constant in prayer." Be constant in prayer. So as we step toward a focused time of leaning into prayer, it's an opportunity for each of us to enrich our prayer life, to be constant in prayer. In James chapter 5, there's a half dozen verses together that plead with us to have prayer be not just something that is a move of desperation or on occasion, but that it would be a regular heart posture. It would be constant in prayer. Listen to this. James 5, verses 13 through 18. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." we have the opportunity afresh to step toward a rhythm of prayer. But to do so with the caution of Jesus, not to just do so to pray more, but to do so with a posture of humility and dependence and faith. We're going to have the opportunity beginning next Sunday to lean into a portion of scripture known as the Lord's Prayer. And in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 11, the way that he sets this up is it's a story of Jesus retreating to prayer and his disciples noticing that and saying, Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And Jesus shares the Lord's Prayer to his followers as an expression of how to pray for the things of the kingdom. I'd encourage you this week to read through verses 9 through 13. We're going to just look at verse 9 next Sunday. Our hope is that in the coming month that this will become not just something that we understand, but this will become a rhythm and pattern of our hearts to pray this way. Practical suggestion this week. Rumor has it that you may be washing your hands more than you typically have been. And so I want to suggest to you, some have said, you know, pray, or they've said, say the ABCs, will you wash your hands? Then you'll know you're doing it long enough, or sing happy birthday. I want to suggest to you, pray the Lord's Prayer every time you wash your hands. It's about the right length of time. Pray the Lord's Prayer every time you wash your hands. That should be multiple times a day. Be an opportunity for you to take a step toward being constant in prayer. To Jesus, calling for his followers that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And when we pray, we can have confidence and assurance because we pray to a God who sees us and a God who knows us. He's not our adversary, he's our advocate. And so we should pray in that way. Let me close. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray this for your glory and in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.